day. We stood over the grave and downed a pint of whiskey. Dan lit a candle. I recited a poem the Roman lyric poet Catullus had written to honor his dead brother. By strangers, coasts, and waters, many days at sea, I come here for the rites of your unworlding, bringing for you, the dead, these last gifts of the living, and my words, vain sounds for the man of dust. Alas, my brother, you have been taken from me. You have been taken from me, and by cold chance turned a shadow and my pain. Here are the foods of the old ceremony, appointed long ago for the starvelings under the earth. Take them. Your brother's tears have made them wet. And take into eternity my hail and my farewell. It was there, among 4,000 war dead, that Kurt belonged. He died because he could not free himself from war. He was trying to replicate what he had found in Sarajevo, but he could not. War could never be new again. Kurt had been in East Timor, in Chechnya. Sierra Leone, I was sure, meant nothing to him. Kurt and Miguel could not let go. They would be the first to admit it. Spend long enough at war, and you cannot fit in anywhere else. It finally kills you. It is not a new story. It starts out like love, but it is death. War is the beautiful young nymph in the fairy tale that, when kissed, exhales the vapors of the underworld. The ancient Greeks had a word for such a fate, ekpyrosis. It means to be consumed by a ball of fire, and they used it to describe heroes. Thank you. Thank you.
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to Chris Hedges' talk on War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning at All Saints Church in Pasadena, California on March 4, 2006. Our contributors this week included Mansur Saba of Global Voices for Justice for 90.7 FM KPFK in Los Angeles, California. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by Pacifica Radio Network. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, please email our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. For Sprouts, this is Jeannie Kyle with Global Voices for Justice at www.globalvoicesforjustice.org. Thank you for listening. See you next week on Sprouts.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 101.1 FM, it's the Thursday edition of Bathrobs Pierce Broadsides with special taped interviews from homeless activist Mike Seymour, Craig Canada, and Jerry Henry in Aptos, as well as a call-in from attorney David Beauvais in Berkeley, and perhaps a special guest call-in from legal worker in San Diego on an issue that's pressing us here, evictions. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned to 101.1 FM and freakradio.org.
play Russian roulette with you, but not with a second-hand Saturday night special. No, downtown plays Russian roulette with a brand new SJPD revolver. One bullet for injustice, one bullet for intolerance, and one bullet for the self-hating sellout Latino capuleto that will never bust enough Mexicans, harass enough Chicanos, or beat the shit out of enough cholos to feel equal to his Caucasian counterparts. You see, downtown when you're brown, Officer Lopez is hunting down Chicanos like the Terminator, hoping in vain that one day he may be able to wake up and scrub the brown out of downtown, or at the very least, out of his own skin. Downtown! Is drowned out by the boom, boom, boom of tricked out Impalas and cherried out mini trucks as the catcalls of oppression are heard up and down Santa Clara Street. And beautiful Latinos strut by on 16 in midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifixes hanging from the rearview mirror. Downtown when you're brown on a Friday night, all the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no fucking Mexican zone. Downtown, downtown when you're brown on a Friday night is no place to be.
And welcome to Bathurst Spears Broadsides. Yeah, don't be brown downtown. Well, be brown downtown. Just keep your eyes open and have some friends around you. Also, a tape recorder can be handy. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, and the call-in number for this talk show, which goes on until 8 o'clock and concerns itself with local civil rights issues, is 831-427-3772, 427-3772. If you want to catch me off air, you can call the HUFF line. H-U-F-F is for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, local civil rights organization. And the number is easy to remember, 423-HUFF, 423-H-U-F-F, or 4833. If you want to call the studio and, let's say, maybe donate something or propose something or learn something or ask a question, maybe you want a show, who knows? The number to call is the voicemail line, and that is at 427-4523, 427-4523. You can also go online and go to freakradio.org, which is where we also stream from, in case you are out of the area and you want to stay in touch with this show. If you missed the latest Bathrobes Piers Broadsides show, you might want to catch up on it by going to the HUFF website, HuffSantaCruz.org, all one word, HuffSantaCruz.org, and looking for the name of the show, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, and you'll be able to actually download it and hear what you missed. Can you imagine? Hey, there's lots of other interesting information on the HUFF website. We concern ourselves with restoring or actually establishing absent civil rights for people who are outside, for people who are poor, for all of us, actually, because that could happen to us at any time, and perhaps has to many of us. Again, the HUFF website, HuffSantaCruz.org. The call-in number tonight, 427-3772. And if you also are so inclined, you can jump on the chat room, and the chat room is a place you can go in case you can't get in, or you prefer to just sort of listen, look at the backstage chatter that may or may not be going on between me and others. Hasn't been too much of it recently, but it's available. It's at pagesincolor.com, and you can just log on to that, and you can see what's cooking, if anything, and you can also make requests or comments, rude insults, you name it. It's up to you. I'm greeting everyone now, even as I speak here, and of course, nobody's on the chat room but me, but hey, we could be number two on the chat room at pagesincolor.com. So, lots of stuff to do tonight. I'm going to begin with a few announcements. Tomorrow would have been a court hearing for me down in Superior Court, or actually it's Municipal / Superior Court, Department 1. I face two charges of disrupting a council meeting and resisting arrest for an incident which I've described in the past here on Free Radio, namely trying to speak for 2 minutes at the microphone like the speaker in front of me and the one behind me, but Mayor Rotkin saw fit instead to enforce a rule that he had pushed through City Council some months before, which limited, I felt, improperly and unconstitutionally, legitimate and limited comment on issues on what they call the consent agenda. Anyway, I'm going to trial because I said, no, I'd like my 2 minutes to speak. He had me arrested. The arresting officer, Lieutenant Clark, became violent with me even before announcing I was under arrest. And now the issue has become in court, what are the complaints against Lieutenant Steve Clark that might indicate he lies on police reports or he is excessively violent? And those complaints are usually discovered by having the judge examine in the back room all complaints against the lieutenant for the last 5 years. We thought that Judge Burdick had done this several weeks ago at an earlier, actually a month or two ago, at an earlier Pitchess motion hearing, which is that's called a Pitchess motion when you ask for the names of people who filed past complaints against a police officer on a relevant subject. And Burdick came up with no names. Now, of course, we have learned that there were at least two complaints against Clark having to do with either lying or excessive force, which apparently Burdick did not find or were not presented to him. So we're going back to court. We were going to be going back tomorrow in the morning to have Burdick look for those complaints. But eager-beager District Attorney Archie Weber, who has refused to dismiss this case, even though it is a repressive attack on a peaceful activist, I'm a peaceful activist, on its face, and it's gone on for months and months and months. The original incident was June 14th, 2005, and I've been to court half a dozen to a dozen times now. It keeps getting put off and more again and again, and sometimes we put it off because we need more time to prepare, and sometimes they put it off because they're on vacation or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that, of course, a year and a half sentence is still hanging over my head, particularly since at this time I don't choose to even consider the prospect of accepting a deal which would involve probation. Because if you accept probation, you can be arrested again at the snap of a finger, and then when you're arrested again, you don't get the benefit of a jury trial or even the standard, the presumption of innocence. All they have to do is prove by a 51% preponderance of the evidence, I believe it is, that you are violating your probation one way or another, which can be by inappropriate contact with a police officer. If they're called to a scene where you are and you're a suspect, that can be inappropriate contact. So it's a difficult situation for me. I was going to be facing a Pitchess hearing tomorrow. I'm not, because Archie Weber is on vacation for a month and will be taking it up in a month or so when he gets back. I've announced this on IndieBay.org, which is Santa Cruz Indie Media, which I use for various announcements, and hopefully others, including Becky Johnson, will also be able to use and have been able to use after having been previously censored on that website. But it's not happening tomorrow, folks. So if anyone's planning to go down there at 9 a.m. in the morning, save yourself the grief, unless you want to, go down and distribute jury nullification literature to stop the drug war, which is a good idea. Jury nullification literature, for those who don't know, is literature that informs everyone in the courtroom vicinity, some of which may include jurors, that they have the right to tell a judge, I'm going to make my, actually to say nothing to a judge, but in the privacy of a jury room, to make their own decision on the basis of the facts presented to them, the law in front of them, and their sense of justice. So that means that even if an individual is 100% guilty of possessing marijuana, they can still say not guilty, which really means this is the stupidest law I've ever seen. I'm not going to be a part of a criminal conspiracy to deny someone his or her rights because they use or possess or sell marijuana. And everybody in the county should know this. There's no way that the courts can hold you accountable for this or criticize you for doing it. Anybody can criticize you. There's no way they can sanction you. Anyway, that's something that actually someone brought up. the idea of giving out jury nullification literature. And there's an interesting website for those who are interested. It's called FIJA, F-I-J-A, Fully Informed Jury Amendment, or Fully Informed Jury Association is the acronym. You can go there and learn more about jury nullification, also known as jury supremacy or jury independence. It's the right to say not guilty, even if the judge says, you must follow my orders. You smile and nod, and then when the vote comes up in the jury room, you say, not guilty. And that can stop a prosecution, because they need 12 votes, every single vote, to convict someone, to send them to jail, to put a search clause on them so people can invade their home and do searches on them for the crime of possessing marijuana or other drugs, which, of course, is a big mainstay of financial support for the courts, attorneys, and police departments, and the sheriff's department as well. And, you know, while everybody's doing hasanas about medical marijuana and a second club was, in fact, voted in and good for the city council for doing so in the Harvey West District at the last city council meeting, we still have a situation where the city council is allowing the police to run roughshod over everyone's rights by continuing to pursue the drug war. And the drug war, of course, is the war that criminalizes people for the possession, use, or sale of drugs or herbs, which, of course, is something that adults should not be prosecuted for and that any reasonable person agrees with, in my view. I suppose we can get the Marijuana Anonymous folks or the DARE people to put forward their proponents of prohibition, drug prohibition, but frankly, I think most educated people, even on the right, such as William F. Buckley of the National Review, who I probably don't agree with on many other subjects, have seen through this bullshit. And for years, we have simply had this imposed on us nationwide. 750,000 people arrested last year for marijuana, recreational marijuana. I'm going to be playing some city council clips. I've also promised to play some interviews with activists. I have a kind of a habit of playing fast and loose with my schedule. So some of these people who I've announced, Michael Seymour, a man who lives in his van and reports having been assaulted. He came to a Huff meeting on Wednesday and talked about that. Craig Canada, an activist whom you've heard before in our studio here. He's a man who uses medical marijuana and has been denied that opportunity at numerous homeless services throughout town and has compromised his housing in other cities. And he writes about it quite articulately on his website and on the Sentinel Forum website, the Santa Cruz Sentinel, which I call the Santa Cruz Urinal. That's our local fish wrap rag or a daily newspaper if you want to be unduly charitable. An interview with him that should be coming up. He was banned apparently from the Homeless Service Center some days ago. I don't know if that decision has been reversed. And we have an interview with Jerry Henry, the activist out at Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, a disabled man who's a minister, a street minister to young people who has been banned from the Rancho Del Mar's Aptos Coffee Roasting Company, as well as the coffee shop in the Aptos Center nearby. In what appears to be a concerted drive by the Chamber of Commerce and the Sheriff's Department to harass people who essentially tell others that, like Richard Quigley and Jerry Henry, that they have a right to assemble in shopping centers even if they don't buy anything. That they, provided they aren't engaging in criminal behavior, they have a right to be there. Maybe Ryan Coonerty should zip out there and pass a parking garage paranoia law out there so people will no longer be able to enter as he has done here in Santa Cruz and as will go into effect on June 23rd. You won't be able to enter a parking garage or parking lot number 9 across from the Elm Street Mission and the Elm Street Feeding Program where homeless people were wont to congregate. Unless you're parking a vehicle or a car, and even if you do, get out of your car and get away from your bike within 15 minutes or you're subject to a citation after you have been warned. So these are interviews coming up. Plus, I hope to hear from attorney David Beauvais, who's my attorney, is going to be talking about the harassment, my harassment at City Council by then-Mayor Mike Rotkin and the criminal case around that, as well as our own case against the City Council, which goes to federal court probably later this fall. These cases are all being bumped ahead because of the slowdown. It's like one train slows down, so every train behind it slows down. And I'm also hoping to hear from an activist in San Diego, and we'll see if that happens as well, around eviction, because one of our strong, hardworking, disabled activists, Donna Dice, who was on this program about a month ago talking about the assault on her friend and partner Shane downtown by Officer Brierley while he was in handcuffs. She herself is now being evicted in what she describes as a retaliatory eviction, and she's fighting it. And maybe she'll talk to us about that. But let me turn to some of these interviews, which have, I admit, been piling up, and I'm going to be doing that in a moment. If you want more information about the Pitchess motion that I mentioned that won't be happening tomorrow but should be happening in August, go to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. That's Santa Cruz Indie Media. You can Google for it, Santa Cruz Indie Media. That's happening. I mean, that's where you can find that. Looking over my notes, I want to note that at 8:30 tonight there's going to be a special movie in Squid Row, Angry Brigade. Squid Row Alley is the alley between Union and Center Street in downtown Santa Cruz, behind what used to be India Joe's. It's now the Red Lantern. It's next to the Goodwill. It's a special screening of a 1973 documentary about the Angry Brigade by George Carr, and a short film by the filmmaker that covers continued resistance in Britain in the late 70s and the resulting conspiracy trial. The Angry Brigade, according to this, between 70 and 72, the Angry Brigade used guns and bombs in a series of symbolic attacks against property. A series of communiques accompanied the actions, explaining the choice of targets and the Angry Brigade philosophy, autonomous organization and attacks on property alongside other forms of militant working-class action. Attacks on the homes of senior political figures increased the pressure for results and brought an avalanche of police raids. From the start, the police were faced with the difficulty of getting to grips with a section of the society they found totally alien, and they were facing an organization. Were they facing an organization or an idea? And this is the Santa Cruz Guerrilla Drive-In, which is going to be presenting this. It's an outdoor movie theater under the stars that springs up in the fields and industrial wastelands, according to their PR here. Beyond showing great movies and bringing a broad community together, or so they say, part of our mission is helping reclaim public space. All right, I'll buy that. And transforming our urban environment into the joyful playground it should be. You may remember Guerrilla Theater put on the Flim Flam Film Festival at the Locust Street parking garage right across from the Cinema 9. They actually projected the films onto the face of the Cinema 9, the side of the Cinema 9 theater building. And when the cops came to turn down the amplified sound after about an hour, or quite demand that they turn it off, although it was prior to 10 o'clock, and it was not apparently, I don't think it was unreasonable noise, and I don't know that actually anyone was prepared to make a complaint, but the Flim Flammers moved into second gear, or actually into third gear, and they pulled out their actors, and instead of using amplified sound, they used actors shouting out the lines. It was very funny and quite effective and novel and original, and I commend them for it. So again, tonight, 1973 documentary at 8:30 p.m. at Squid Row, which is down, it's about a block from the old Union Cafe, the old Java House Cafe. It's now some other cafe that's hoity-toity and upscale, which I find not particularly appealing, and I don't know the name of. So, but I think you know that general vicinity. Again, we're talking Union and Center Streets in downtown Santa Cruz. Tomorrow night, there's going to be a vigil at the town clock, 7 to 9. Why not? And this is going to be a vigil about the 2,500 U.S. killer victim. That's right, the U.S. murderers in Iraq. We have lost 2,500 of them. I don't know whether we should cheer or cry or simply go crazy. But, you know, since we're only counting our own dead here, I guess that's what we're going to be doing. We got a phone call here. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Yar.
Yar.
Just as a salty beverage-consuming pirate, I'd like to let the people know that that's called the Coastline Brewery. And you can buy organic beer. They make it themselves. They sell organic beer, which, yeah, is a little bougie, but...
How much is it?
$3 or $4 a pint.
Hmm, okay.
Not unreasonable, comparable to other bars, and it's organic.
Now, are you employed by this organization, perhaps? Or are you just a fan of the brewery?
I'm a fan of organic beer, and I just want to let that be known that they sell organic beer there.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, my problem with the brewery is it replaced a management that previously allowed a lot more, I think, folks from the streets interaction in there,
yeah,
and free concerts and, you know, forums. Instead, we get this, as you say, bougie approach. So,
that's
cool.
True.
For again, organic beer for all those who are up for that, I say right on.
Keep up the good work, Robert.
Thank you.
Peace.
Bye-bye. So it's a Coastline Brewery. It used to be the Union Cafe. Now it's the Coastline Brewery. So brew on and tank up. And I hope they don't start arresting people as both Java House and the Union Cafe did, who were homeless and poor, who were on the outskirts of that establishment. One time, Dave Jacobs, a homeless activist, was relentlessly harassed and banned from the Java House. I was banned from the Java House for 6-7 years, eventually let in. And I've heard stories about the Union Cafe under one of its managers not only driving the ragamuffins out into the street, but also telling people they couldn't sit near the restaurant or near the cafe on the sidewalk. It's when that kind of invasion happens that I get cranky big time. But, of course, that kind of invasion is very typical, and it happens a lot, which is a sad thing. So, what else have we got here? Well, as I said, Friday 7 to 9 at the town clock, you can light a candle for any of the 2,500 dead U.S. soldiers. I like to think of them as occupation troops who are engaging in murderous activities abroad, and they're kind of the criminal war, they're war criminals who represent all of us. Of course, they are the lowest echelon. The real war criminals are in Washington, and that's for sure. Or you might even say, you know, local politicians who collude with this. Even city officials who don't want to bring up resolutions about, let's say, declaring Santa Cruz a resistor zone or a resistance zone, encouraging war resistors to come here, instructing the police department not to cooperate with actions like happened in Portland when a woman who refused to go back to Iraq, those of you who watch Democracy Now! Know, was arrested in Portland, Oregon, apparently with the collusion of the Portland police. Are the Santa Cruz police going to collude in arresting war resistors here, too? I hear nothing but silence from the city council. When I raise the issue at city council of how much of our budget, of our money, of our investments is going into companies that are involved in the Iraq war, Mike Rodkin quickly said, "Move on." And, of course, we got no response, no direction to the staff to investigate it. I may be playing the tape of the last city council meeting and my own particular dance with the city council on Sunday, and I do a show from 9:30 to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You're invited to join me. Some of it may happen tonight even. But let me begin after I run through these updates. I think I'm almost finished with these updates. I'm going to move now into the interviews that I've really kind of postponed, and I'd like to get to you and get your comments on. Remember, you can call in 427-3772, and again, feel free to call in and talk. You may get a caustic response from me on some things. I know the last caller. Thank you for calling in. You know, even if you get a flack from me, I appreciate your being willing to deal with that. And I hope people are not too dissuaded because, well, you know, it's important to have a dialogue. And sometimes the dialogue between people who see differently on things can be a little cranky, but it can be enlightening as well. What I have here now is an interview with Jerry Henry, who is a guy you can learn some background about by going to, of all places, the Sentinel Forums, and actually Richard Quigley, who had a radio show on KSCO for a long time. He's now dying of cancer. He's a famous supporter of the right of an individual to wear a helmet of his or her choice, which may be a baseball cap if he's driving a motorcycle, as well as his right to be free from police harassment. Whether he's poor, whether he's rich, no matter how he looks, the right to use public spaces. Richard is quite conservative on a number of issues. I think he was a big supporter of the war in Iraq, for that matter. But he and I have seen really common ground on other issues, and I commend him and salute him. And frankly, I also wear his T-shirt. He was an individual who was there with Kate Wells 17 years ago when then-Mayor Marty Wormhout was prosecuting activist Sandra Loringer, a diminutive 55-year-old antique dealer who was feeding homeless people at the town clock in a vigil against the sleeping ban and against police brutality. Marty Wormhout, in order to stop this embarrassing situation, called in the police and arrested people in riot gear, and Sandra Loringer was one of them. Her crime was feeding people without a food permit, and she actually served time in the jail for that. Quigley sold T-shirts, which had her famous words at the city council, I should say at the court hearing, when asked if she would just stop feeding food, they wouldn't have to send her to jail. Your Honor, she said to Judge Artichoke Hart Attic, I think I am beyond rehabilitation. And that's what was printed on her T-shirt, and that's what Richard Quigley sold. And if you want to go to Quigley's website or to the Quigley thread of the Sentinel forum, if you Google for Jerry Henry Richard Quigley, you'll probably find the background to this whole controversy at the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. And some of it comes out in the discussion that follows. What it boils down to is a concerted, sinister, massive attack by a collusion of businesses and public agencies to exert their power and authority over one or two people there who continue to assert their right to be present, Jerry Henry and Richard Quigley, and their caretakers and associates. I should say Quigley doesn't have a caretaker. He's sort of a caretaker himself in his own way, even though he's getting weaker and weaker and may die any day of a lymphoma. Anyway, here's an interview with Jerry Henry from about a week ago.
That great Starbucks, Jerry Henry.
I don't know that I want to go down on that one.
All right, well, let's hear what you have to say about it. It's 5:30 on May 29th. We're in front of the coffee roasting
company business, our local coffee shop, and everybody says support your local business. I don't know if you support your local fascist anymore.
You know, how can you call them fascists, Jerry? What kind of a commentary is that on our coffee people? Well, I'm nearsighted, but I wouldn't say blind.
But you can't read any of these.
Let's see. Thank you for not smoking in this area. Dogs must be on leash. Clean up after your pet. Customer parking only 20-minute limit. Please no smoking in this lower patio area.
Public notice. How about no trespassing?
Walkways and stairs must be kept clear. Public notice. There's a public notice over here. Public notice says the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center is private property, and all common areas, parking lots, walkways, service drives, patio areas have been developed and are maintained by the owners. The exclusive use by customers while shopping at Rancho Del Mar, any use, occupation, or other contra activities in these common areas is strictly prohibited without written permission, without his two words in each case, Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center Management Office. And we have another sign over here, skateboarding and skating prohibited, Santa Cruz County Code 8.23020. And then, of course, there's no trespassing, loitering, soliciting, Penal Code 602.1A. Violators will be prosecuted as CCS. And there's a phone number to call for all you law enforcement people, 471-1121.
Santa Cruz Sheriff's Department.
So, are these signs, some of them look kind of new since last time I was here.
Yeah, I think those couple are new. They even wrote a police report, that lady that has that toilet boutique there, that toilet.
Paradise bowl. Interior Design, Kitchen and Bath, Home Decor, right next to the roasting.
She specializes in toilet bowls for dogs, you know. She built us the biggest, she covered up all our public benches and made us the biggest doggy toilet in town. And then that's a dog must be on leash sign, clean up after your pet. And then customer parking only 20-minute limit, and literally the police report they wrote out of there said it was directed at Richard Quigley, Jerry Henry, and our cronies.
And when was this police report? Did you get a date on this one?
Later part of the third month or beginning of the fourth.
March or April?
Yeah. Just a fairly recent one.
Now, you yourself were, Richard tells me that you were accosted by an individual coming out of the roasting company?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give us the story on that?
Well, I had my back turned, and he just came up and started whacking me in the back, put me down to the ground.
With his body, with his fist,
with some part of his body, All I know is I got, you know, I was halfway down to the ground before I realized anything was going on.
When was this?
4:20.
Really? On April 20th? About what time of day?
I don't know. I just came back from the courthouse. It was, Richard had a hearing down there on a restraining order hearing on the toilet lady over this police report I was talking about. So that police report must have came out in the third month.
So and, this was sometime in the afternoon or the morning?
I don't know, 11 o'clock, something like that. I don't know.
And you were here alone or with someone else?
I was just standing here. In fact, I was right in this parking place, you know, and I was standing here right alongside my truck here. And just calling one of these kids.
Second parking place over here. We got about, looks like, 1, 2, 3, 4 20-minute parking areas here.
Yeah, there's actually 5, I think. But I was just calling a friend of mine on my cell phone. Mm-hmm. And my cell phone went under the car right next to me when I went down to the ground. And I came up with my, I reached under and got my cell phone and came up with my tape recorder and turned it on.
Mm-hmm.
And
What did the man say, and who was this individual?
I can't go into a whole lot of the details right now. I had never met him before. I guess just from what I understand in the police reports, he'd been coming here. His wife said they'd been coming here for 2 or 3 years and were disgusted with my gang that hung out here and a bunch of troublemakers.
He decided to take some action,
You know, that's I guess what's going to be debated in a court of law now.
Now,
I attempted a citizen's arrest.
And how did you try to do that?
I called 911.
Okay, and then what happened?
Police came and talked
deputies
to me.
Or?
Deputies. The guy had already left. And then we had an interlude with him a couple of days later. And then lo and behold, when I finally got the police report, they recommended prosecution on me for filing a false police report.
Wow, and were there any witnesses to it?
Yeah, and I don't want to go into that part. You know,
were there sympathetic? But there were some sympathetic witnesses.
Yeah, there. And I had my tape recording. And the kid that I was calling, he didn't answer his phone, but his answering machine picked up.
So he heard some of that.
We heard it. And
The man was saying some things as well. Or?
Well, yeah, you know, that's part of the issues now. They have me on recommended prosecution at this point. His wife had filed a citizen's arrest against me, I guess, about 3/20/04. A month before that.
For what crime?
Public nuisance.
What did she mean by that? Your hat is too raggedy? You have a long beard. You have a rather slovenly clothing, and the colors clash, for one thing.
It was, in fact, you asked me when they put that dog sign up. They put that dog sign up on 3/20/04, because that's what... I was out here discussing that dog sign with some of the kids, some of the contractor kids, and some of the kids I've been raised with here. And they took real exception to things and wanted me... and had me citizens arrested on public nuisance. And that, on 4/20, I'd just been down to the courthouse with...
Before we go into that, what does it mean to be citizen arrested? Did the cop come and write you a citation? Did he take you into custody?
A citation, but it was on a misdemeanor charge. Yeah.
And so... Public nuisance, what does that actually mean? I mean, you...
I don't know. I'm that person that was tried on it. Remember, they indicted me on the 32-page indictment,
At that time, you were here in front of in the same general area, though, I guess Gottschalk's is where Aptos Shoes and Apparel is now, and the issue was primarily around Gottschalk's at that time, or...?
At that time.
In other words, in terms of the public nuisance charge.
No, the public nuisance charge all went around the Roasting Company. There's been 3 trials. The public nuisance was the second trial. One Judge Kelsey did. First one was the one Heather Morris did in the day of jury selection. They dismissed all charges. Then Yance had me up on they had me up on trial with Yance, and they took me up to day of jury selection and dismissed all the charges. And then this was the one Judge Kelsey did. And
the most recent one where you essentially accepted a guilty plea on one of the charges?
That's the fourth one now.
That was the fourth one.
And now that I guess they're going to have
the saga continues.
Well, we're still dealing with that first one, you know. It's still at the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still in Judge Weir's court, and I've responded to the Attorney General's appeal. and we're still waiting for Judge Weir to make his next decision.
Now, this is a decision on a 1997 case, is that right?
I don't think it's It started in 97. this weekend, I think, is my ninth anniversary on this. You know, I've been under prosecution 9 years nonstop here in front of our local nickel whorehouse, as I call it, because it's all about the nickels.
Did this process begin abruptly? Were you my memory is not as good as it used to be. In 95 and 96, were you habituated to this area without any problems from the police? Were you?
I've been habitual to this area for 20 years before I ever had a problem.
This particular area here by Dinero Rancho.
Oh yeah, I think it came along with it was most when we got the Aptos Community Service Center in here.
That's the sheriff's office.
Yeah, and I think it had to do some with Karen Hibble probably coming and taking the Chamber of Commerce over.
When did
it's
that
like
happen?
I think it's about back in that time. I don't know exactly when she
got. You hung out here for 95 and 96 without any particular difficulties, right?
Well, in 90 and all through the 80s and...
And was there a difference?
Well, it's just like I used to hang out in front of New Leaf on the bench for years and years and years.
In what city?
I mean, pre-earthquake. In Santa Cruz.
In Santa Cruz.
Well, you know how that goes. It's white, glowing, ignorant nigger hating. It's social cleansing time. And let's face it, Robert, you just don't look too right anymore, and neither do I for Slammer Cruz.
Well, you've got to fit in with the times.
I never had a problem with this community until all these houses became worth $1 million.
Well, maybe what's needed here is for you to kind of, you know, carry more money with you and spend more.
Well, hand it over.
Well,
I don't know. How are you supposed to have more money when you have to tape record your entire life just to be safe? You've spent $20,000 on attorneys at this stage. You've been under prosecution nonstop for... You know, and $20,000, I'm happy that my attorneys have done what they've done. You know,
I was wondering because I know that I wished you'd gone to trial a year ago and instead of taking this deal with Judge Kelsey. I guess you're still under a restraining order. You're still under a probation condition now?
No, I'm under it because I wasn't trying. The trial's been postponed 2 years.
Oh, so you're under probation?
You can't have probation if you haven't been tried.
What about the Aptos Center? I mean, this concerns not just the Rancho Copy Shop here, but also the Aptos Center Copy Shop.
No, this is the Aptos. You mean the Pacific?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the Aptos Center.
No, but what I'm on is a protective stay away. It's a pretrial condition.
So are you still, is there still an order stopping you from walking into this?
I guess. You know, Judge Kelsey ordered Marigonda, our good district attorney, to...
And the mayor of Scottsdale.
Well, I wish you break my train of thought, and I am disabled.
Okay.
Really. I realize it's cute that he's the mayor, that, you know, but it really stumbles my brain to try and pick up again. You know, Judge Kelsey ordered Marigonda to get a complaint from these people. They were never at the trial or anything. There was never any representation from this coffee shop, yet the charges were from the coffee shop. And I brought that up, and he told Marigonda to get them to make a formal complaint.
The roasting company.
And he has never done it.
And so, in theory, there's no problem. You're walking in and out. You're just apprehensive that it might result.
I'm not gonna risk violating a judge's what a judge has told me to do.
And what did the judge tell you to do in this case?
Well, he put the same condition leading up to when these agreements were made that I couldn't go on the other side of the planter box. I couldn't go on that patio.
And
this was a protective situation while I was waiting for trial. Well, when he postponed the trial, I asked the judge, I said, listen, there's no complaining parties here from the coffee shop. I says,
What did he say to that?
I told you, he'd ordered Marigonda, the mayor of Scotts Valley, you know, the person that applied for judge but didn't make it.
Right. Yes, I know, I recommended against him.
He fails to do what the judge has told him. And that's to get a formal complaint from me being in their store.
Have you gone back to Marigonda or the judge to seek a clarification on this?
My attorneys come out of San Francisco, and I'm grateful for what they do, but I understand that, you know, it's not the easiest trip in the world. It takes a half a day out of their life to do anything down here.
That's a faxed letter to them, to the judge or the Amerigana might be appropriate.
I don't know how are you going to get them to respond to how are you going to get Amerigana to respond to anything? My attorney's not
$100,000 cash contribution.
Yeah. Well, give them the contribution.
Just kidding, folks. I would never suggest any such thing. We're talking with Jerry Henry in front of the Aptos Copywriting Company.
It's just real fucking frustrating. Yeah. You know, it's not only that. It's how do you ever have a false police report in this county? It's like the other coffee shop making a police report that I might as well have been talking filthy to my niece, a girl that I would, you know, and it's so ludicrous, it's insane. If I didn't have the tape recorder on me, I couldn't survive. But there's no such thing as a false police report in this county. I think it's partly sick humor now that they. So they've recommended me on prosecution for making a false police report now because...
Well, that was a recommendation, but there has no action been taken on it, right? You know of.
That I know of. I got told that the district attorney wasn't prosecuting this charge, this citizen's arrest the woman did. But when I went down to get the police report, they won't hand it over because they want to hang it over my head for the 3 years or whatever the duration is. You know, on opportunity to prosecute.
And you're listening to an interview with Jerry Henry, who, in the most recent thing out of all this rather complicated, entangled discussion, which those who just tuned in might be interested in knowing, is that Jerry is a guy who the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center in Aptos's coffee roasting company down there, that's the Colleen Crosby Roasting Company, she's now dead, but presumably her heirs are carrying it on, decided some managers down there began to have, began to take exception to him. Mainly, the origins of it have to do, from his account, with his having advised young people they have a right to be in the public spaces, even after first alarm security guards and sheriff's deputies tell them they must move along. And Jerry said, no, this has always been a place where people gather. You don't have to move along. You can't block the way and so forth, but, you don't have to move along. And this, of course, made Jerry a target and Richard Quigley a target. Both of them hung out there. This is the roasting company is just on the other side of the big Safeway in Aptos, if you know the area. And what's coming up soon is he's going to go to court because he's not sure if he's going to be charged with making a false police report because he reported he was assaulted. And they're claiming that he wasn't assaulted and that this is a false police report, which sounds like a strange kind of a charge. I actually tried to level a charge of making a false police report against then-Mayor Chris Crone when he declared I was disrupting a public meeting by the silent, you're acting like a fascist gesture that I made briefly from the side of the room when he tried to muzzle a peace activist way back in 2002. But then Sergeant Baker refused to accept my report. Apparently, if you're a merchant, you can get these reports, or if you're a customer who looks upper middle class, you can get these reports accepted more easily. Interesting. I'm looking at the Santa Cruz Sentinel website forum, and for those who are interested, if you go there, you can actually see pictures of the scene where Jerry Henry and I were talking and how it's changed from being a friendly, sociable scene to one being patrolled and filled up with planter boxes so people can't sit down, with furniture removed, as a part of the determination of some of the businesses and the collusive sheriffs to impose a kind of a throw your money in the shops and keep walking, or come into the shops and buy, but don't hang out outside mentality. More from this interview.
You know how they collect all those cases and then pile them all on? Haven't you ever seen that? Haven't you watched that happen to me in years past?
What I've seen is all a blur as I stand here, so I'm glad you're recounting it again. In fact, someone should write the whole chronology for a lengthy article. I think it would make interesting reading.
Well, you ought to approach Scotty downtown sometime.
Has he been involved pretty much throughout, Scott?
No. Well, up till where he leaves, but no, all my aides have been arrested and threatened.
You're a man who's disabled, who does have aides who come with you, right?
Well, yeah, I don't have AIDS. I have people that help me. That
AIDS, meaning not the disease, but the actuality of a person assisting.
Yeah, and, you know, I know this dog thing's pointed directly at Jonah. You know, he's got two dogs that are always on a leash, and you just wonder when they're going to grab them. It's like these no smoking signs. They don't mean anything. It's not against the law to smoke there. But me and every one of my aides have been arrested, citizens arrested, and charged with trespassing because we smoke there, and everybody else smokes there in absolute safety. In fact, one of the kids around here that I get along with, I asked him one time if he had ever been afraid smoking here. He says, not just when I was standing too close to you, Jerry.
Well, I myself, of course, I'm taking my life into my own hands with this interview, but as a bold fellow, you know, I like to step into the breach.
Well, you were a Colleen Cosby person yourself.
We're old lovers. I didn't want to talk about it at the time before she died, but, you know, I have to... Actually, the truth is we were just good friends. Actually, friends isn't the word, but I did patronize her store, although we did hand out little commentaries at the store about how they were treating you in both Santa Cruz and here. We may do so again.
Well, this isn't... I'm not the only person I've known they've treated this way. I've known other people downtown they've treated this way. It's interesting. They used to treat other people this way here, too, but now it's focused down to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess they are being careful because they don't want to be accused here of discriminating against a class of people, just against one individual.
Yeah. Well, our one individual and anybody that associates with him. Now we actually have a police report that says that one of these new signs was for Richard Quigley, myself, and our crony.
Well, don't you feel proud of that?
Well, I hope you're a crony, and I hope the damn tow truck comes and gets you.
Well, fine.
They came out here one night when Richard was here. It was quite a sight to behold.
Really, what happened there?
Oh, they first alarm sent three of their little cars with those bubblegum machines on top, you know, and they had this girl, I don't know, she looked like she was maybe 22, and she got out and had her thumbs in her belt, and she was telling Richard, you're going to have to leave, or I'm going to be towing your car. And, well, Richard just looked at her and says, well, you're just going to need to get on with your badass self. And we called 911 to get a police standby so there wouldn't be trouble, and fortunately, cops came out and asked them if either one of them, if any three of the first alarms knew who Richard Quigley or Jerry Henry was, and that none of them did. And the cop looked at them and says, well, you will get taken to task. And they had the tow truck here and everything, but they sent the tow truck off. I haven't had just good luck with tow trucks. Last time I tried to stand them off, the shopping center management ordered the tow truck twice to run me over.
When was this?
I was in last part of the second month or the third month or the first part of the third month.
Of this year? Or?
Yeah.
And this was right near this
February
area where we're standing?
Or? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did they tow your vehicle?
No, they were actually going to steal one of my kid's vehicles, a real close kid to mine, and it had all his tools in it. I stood in between the truck and the tow truck, and this asshole ordered it to run me over twice.
Really?
And I called for a citizen's arrest on that one, and I think I got told by the deputy that he didn't even talk to me, but as on his way out, I tried to talk to him, even though I'd called 911. He told me I was just lucky he was busy, or else he'd be taking me to jail.
I see.
Never even talked to me.
But they didn't take the vehicle, so you were successful in standing off the tow company.
Well, yeah, I was successful in being threatened with a assault with a deadly weapon, and
but you were able to.
I was lucky the cop was busy. I guess
you stopped the towing from happening.
Yeah, the towing didn't happen.
Now, the same thing happened when Richard's vehicle was about
here. Yeah. The kid was here, and he got it. He it wasn't 3 minutes or 4 minutes till he was here, got in his vehicle, and took off.
Had the vehicle been here for more than 20 minutes?
It wasn't. It was a couple spots down to 20, past the 20.
The hour zone.
And this was before the 20-minute zone was in.
3 hours.
This was before the 20 minutes.
It was an illegitimate tow, in other words.
Yeah, illegitimate, but there was $2,000-$3,000 worth of tools in his truck that would have destroyed the kid's life.
Gotcha. Jerry, thank you. I could
no,
say...
There are no criminal reports. You know, it's just, well, Don't you ever find that downtown that certain groups
our
of people...
Our police are very fastidious in Santa Cruz.
Certain people aren't above the law down there?
Certainly not. Everyone is treated equally and fairly. Santa Cruz is
everybody
an ideal community.
The walks are good at taking, not just you.
Certainly not. Fair is what fair does. Thank you, Jerry. Henry.
You are delusional. Yeah, maybe it's coming with that white hair.
It could be. Would you like a cup of coffee?
I'll split one with you. It's kind of late in the day for a whole one.
Okay. We're talking with an anonymous employee about Jerry Henry. Any? You said in the past that you've seen lights flashed in the...
Yeah, he used to shine his lights in the store. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. I think further about it.
Okay, well, we'll talk at some other point, bro. And actually, what also was said off the record by this employee, who whose name I know, but you don't, is that he was upset with Jerry for flashing his lights and the roasting company. On one occasion, he felt that Jerry standing out front was a waste of time. He's a man with a lot of property. Why is he spending all his time here? And I told Jerry about this, and Jerry took it, sort of shook his head sadly and didn't seem too angry to hear about it, but said he knew the employee's mom and thought things were... that the employee didn't really understand. He also said, the employee said that it was his understanding that Jerry would be arrested if he came into the coffee roasting company or if he crossed the line at a certain point where there was some kind of restraining order or some such thing or pretrial condition. I'm not sure you heard Jerry refer to that earlier. So that's the update from the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center.
And perhaps a little bit too elaborate an update. If you have any thoughts, comments, or objections, you can give a call, 427-3772. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. And the reason I spend so much time on this kind of situation, and perhaps in too much detail, is it really upsets me that businesses and police have the power to apply one standard to one group of people and another to another, and essentially revoke the Bill of Rights. I mean, I suppose anybody with any savvy would look at me with a sort of a cynical weariness and say, come on, you know, get real. What do you expect? And, of course, that's true. But I guess I'm particularly proud of people who are willing to stand up and say, that's wrong, I'm going to resist it, I will waste my time outside this coffee shop, outside here, even though it means I'm subject to further harassment, even though I'm subject to misunderstanding, even though I'll be defamed on the Sentinel Forum websites, even though I may have to be taken to trial again. I guess it's a form of heroism as far as I'm concerned. Hello, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this Robert?
It is.
Hey, I can barely hear you, Robert, but my name is Steve, and I work at Starbucks in Aptos.
Uh-huh.
And Jerry is a regular customer of ours.
And has he been breaking any windows lately?
I just wanted to say that he's an outstanding citizen, and he's a great guy. I talk to him all the time. And he's never caused us any problems.
Well, you had a job in Starbucks. After this interview, you're fired.
Oh, no. It'll be fine.
Now, how far away is Starbucks in Aptos from the coffee roasting company where Jerry hangs out, but he's not allowed to go in?
It's probably about 2 blocks away.
And how long have you known Jerry, Steve?
I've known him for about 2 or 3 months.
And have you ever been at the scene of the coffee roasting company and observed the situation?
Never. I've just spoken with Jerry about it. I just talked to him at work, and he comes in almost every day, and, yeah, he's a great guy.
So the Chamber of Commerce and Karen Hubble or whatever her name is hasn't yet moved to ban Jerry from Starbucks yet, huh?
Absolutely not. We have no complaints over there.
Now, let me ask you more broadly. Aptos is kind of a more upscale community than downtown Santa Cruz. And do you have, do you have policies, let's say, 86ing homeless people who come in, or what happens with that kind of those folks?
No, we don't have anything like that. It's just unless somebody causes a disturbance in our store, you know, we really just welcome everybody equally and try to create like a really positive environment for all of our customers. And if people just want to come and hang out, you know, we're totally cool with that as well.
Huh. And what, usually I avoid chains, but then again, if some of the local stores prove more bigoted than the chains, what do you do? You know, I mean, it's kind of hard for me here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I didn't know any of this until I worked for Starbucks, and a lot of people have preconceptions about the company, but it's actually, I was shocked once I started working there, you know.
Now, is Starbucks
what a great place it actually is to hang out.
Are you in the Aptos Center?
Yeah, we're in Trout Gulch.
Yeah, Aptos Center, of course, is the shopping center just up the street from Rancho Del Mar, where there's another coffee roasting company that has banned Jerry from going in, right?
Yeah, I haven't talked to Jerry about that. I've just talked to him about the Santa Cruz Roasting Company.
Right. I mean, actually, that one he hasn't.
Aptos.
Yeah, I tried to interview the woman who ran that place when they began that expulsion situation and didn't get very far. There's a thread on it online, I think.
Yeah.
How did you happen to hear this show? Are you a regular Free Radio listener?
I was. I moved up to Eureka for a year, and I've been back now for a little while. But I used to live downtown, like off the Laurel Street Extension. And I would listen every day until you were taken off the air for a while, so I didn't know what happened there.
Mm-hmm. Not for very long, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, I moved between the period when the channel was taken away, so I didn't really know how long it was gone for, but...
How does Starbucks treat its employees, or can you say on the air?
All I can say is I'm stoked about it, and I've been there for 6 months, and I think awesome, personally. So.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of benefits. They do a lot of good things for the community. I've actually, you know, through Starbucks, done Habitat for Humanity, volunteered, helped build houses with them, which was really positive. We actually donate our pastries every day to the homeless downtown,
mm-hmm.
which is...
How do you do that?
So,
How do you do that? What's your procedure? Do you go downtown and give them away?
We just basically find somebody that's willing to come and get them and find, you know, you make sure they're with some sort of organization that's positive, who's not, you know, reselling them, and we just connect the dots that way and make it happen.
Huh. So. Hey, I'm looking for chocolate pastries, man. Give me, you know, hook me up.
Yeah. Go to the homeless shelter.
The homeless shelter. That I don't know
All
if that's
right.
actually that's the best place to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad you do that. How many people would you say in your 3 months you've had to 86?
I've been there for 6 months and zero people. I haven't had a single problem. So,
is that because you're such a temperate, cool manager, or because problems don't come up, or?
It has to do with, you know, I think the customer service situation there is just, you know, so just lenient with, you know, helping customers and just kind of just say yes is kind of the way we run it. And, you know, we do what we can to just make people happy. And obviously there's a line that can be crossed, but it hasn't been crossed as far as I've been there.
Had any problems with the police yourself or sheriff's office in terms of any other kind of harassment, either on or off the job?
There was one incident when I worked, or actually I wasn't working at the time, about 3 years ago, I was cited for a minor infraction on the Santa Cruz Beach boardwalk. I used to live two blocks away.
And just what kind of criminal behavior were you engaged in?
I was taking a stroll, just walking.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my brother were just walking along the boardwalk. It was on the property, but all the gates were open, so we assumed it was fine for us to be out on a stroll.
Mm-hmm.
And during the stroll, we were approached by security who threatened to mace me, and then I was handcuffed, and the cops came. They actually let me and my brother go.
Did they
for trespassing, and then I had to pay like $280, which wasn't fun.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. Did those guards tell you to leave, and did you refuse to leave?
No, they actually I wanted to leave, and they wouldn't let me. They said I had to sit down, and I had to stop what I was doing, and all I was doing was,
wow.
I was actually on my way out off the property.
Well, then you were tricked into pleading guilty, because you can't be convicted of trespass unless you refuse to leave.
Yeah, I was trying to leave, and they got in front of me and blocked my exit.
Were you granted a public defender?
No, I did.
You just paid it off.
Well, actually, I went down and I pled no contest.
Right.
And
you could have pled not guilty and won.
I think maybe I pled. It was a while back, but I know Kim was the judge and I was convicted.
Kim Baskett?
Yeah.
She should have known better, but of course this is the referee in the basement whom I always urge people to disqualify. Of course, they're all pretty bad. So, but still,
yeah, she made like two people cry the day I was there. It was pretty
really.
Bad.
How did that happen?
You know, it's kind of foggy in my memory. I just remember, you know, just anything this person would try to say, she would just cut it off and put the girl into tears. I think there was a situation where there was this girl we got pulled over at Highway 17, and it was really, really foggy, so she was driving in the middle of both lanes because she didn't want to crash. She was afraid. And then what happened was a cop pulled her over. She pulled over, and then I guess he was yelling at her, and she was confused, and she didn't want to get out of her car. She was afraid, and so he ripped her out of her vehicle. And so she was just really, you know, really perturbed about the whole situation, and, you know, Kim Bassett just sided with the officers, and, you know, this nice girl just totally got screwed, but...
Well, police officers, we know, don't do those kinds of things. So obviously the woman was lying and trying to slander our police department.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, then. All right, let's get our head on straight here, Steve.
Totally.
All right, then.
Right on, Robert. I've got some things to take
I'll
care of.
I'll let you go. Please call again. All right. Thanks again.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Phone lines are open. You, too, may have a story to tell. Let's hear it. 427-3772 is the phone line, 427-FRSC. It's Free Radio Santa Cruz at 101.1 FM that you are listening to. I'm Robert Norse, and this is called Bath Robespierre's Broadsides. My broadsides are showing, and maybe you should show yours. We can let people decide what's cooking here. So I'm hoping for a call-in shortly, as I said, from up Berkeley way, but actually I may have lost that opportunity because, well, there actually are more lines into the studio than I'm using. I have a line that I asked Attorney David Beauvais to call in on, the one who's going to kind of update folks on at least my particular case, may have been busy. So we'll see if we can get a call back from him. And until that happens, let's hear a little music here. Annie and the Vets, and of course, the long-haired radical socialist Jew. You can catch Annie and the Vets at ambergrass.com if you're interested in their stuff. It's from their CD, Singing Peace to Power. So, again, the phone number to call in, 427-3772. Just sort of a quick update on Jerry Henry and his next court date that's coming up, in case those of you want to actually observe Jerry in court. And a few more street interviews coming at you.
And Jerry has the same order hearing on the 27th of June.
I hear somebody.
In Heather Morse's Department 2.
That's good.
And that's going to be 8:30 in the morning for those who are interested in checking out that restraining order. And it's about 20 to 5 on May 30th, 2006, in front of New Leaf Market here, listening to a man playing a variety of wooden instruments and shakers. Looks like a didgeridoo, an alpine horn, inside a large salad bowl with a little shaker. There's a small salad bowl nearby for donations. Mountain Dave is riding by. I just had a word with a guitar player across the street in front of the former Discount Records, who noted he'd been given a ticket by Pam Bechtel for sitting within 14 feet of a... Ha! So, here's a man who plays an instrument called... Is this a didgeridoo or is that another name? For free radio.
Yes, it's a didgeridoo.
And is it a particular kind of... Hey there.
This is a yucca didgeridoo. It's a yucca didgeridoo.
And that's... It looks long, well-polished, shiny. Right.
I'll play it for you if you hit me.
It's didgeridoo time, folks. It's about 5.
And apologies, it wasn't didgeridoo time, or if it was, you don't get to hear it.
The courthouse, the Hoff meeting is about to begin, but we're talking with...
Frank L. Williams.
Frank, you just came walking out of the court. What happened in court? What led you to court? Let me ask you that.
Well, they said I was disturbing the peace there over at Lowell Street Park, but I was actually sleeping there.
That disturbs the peace. We don't want... If you're sleeping peacefully, that's disturbing the peace. Sleeping, peace, it all kind of... Never mind.
Anyway, The maintenance guy came to throw my stuff away, and he's saying, because of you homeless people, I've got to clean up this and clean up that, and I just simply said, you're getting paid for it, right? He went completely off the hook, called the cops, told the cops I was disturbing the peace. And
had you been drinking at the time?
Didn't get a chance to. I was asleep.
I see. Yeah. What time of day or night did this happen?
This was... It was rain. Remember that little bit of rain we had last the end of the winter?
Exactly.
Okay. That was during that time.
Were you sleeping alone or did you have a companionship?
Three other people there. Two. And one of them was Chris. And, you know, he couldn't walk good. He rides that bike. As you know, Chris, he can't walk good at all. He's got polio.
Okay. I'm not sure I know which Chris. I know a number of them. But so did they all get tickets?
Yeah.
And what were they taking it for? Disturbing the peace or sleeping or what?
They're sleeping in the car. And the judge said, he just said, still 12 months, I can't go to the park no more over there for 12 months. They got a $120 fine.
And this is for disturbing the peace. I guess did they drop the sleeping charge? Did they keep, stay away from Laurel Street Park? They $100 probation fine. He fines of $40 per month. Did you get it?
Beginning August 1st. And you know what I know. I ain't going to pay over. I don't have any money.
Did you have a public defender, Frank, or not?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't even have a public defender.
What was his name?
It was a DA. I don't know. It was a woman, and she just...
Did she offer to go to trial on this case with you?
I could have, but I didn't want to go to trial on this.
She offered to go to trial, but you didn't want to do it.
I didn't want to go to trial.
Because disturbing the peace, it sounds like... If telling someone, why are you taking my stuff, is disturbing the peace, unless you said so in a loud and threatening manner.
Yeah, I know. That's what pretty much what happened. I was loud and unfriendly. I wasn't unfriendly. I was just telling the truth. You're getting paid for this. That's all it is. Right. That's all he was getting paid.
Did you attempt to stop him from throwing away your stuff? As was his right, Mr. Trash Guy. We all know homeless people are themselves trash, and naturally they just accumulate trash, right?
And, you know, it didn't bother me one bit about that, but I just told him that he was doing his job, and I told him he was getting paid for it. He didn't like it.
Now, did anyone else in this group, have they gone to court yet? Have they taken a cop to plea? What's happened, you know?
I don't really know what's going on.
And where did you sleep last night?
I slept in a camper, as a matter of fact. I actually was there this morning. If it hadn't been for the cops coming to tow my friend's camper away, I would have made it here on court.
So why did the cops tow your friend's camper away?
Because they told him he couldn't park down on that street there. In fact, the camper was Joe Lewis' camper.
Now, what street was it?
It was on Front Street.
And did they tow it? Was it illegally parked, or was it?
It wasn't illegally parked.
What was the cross street?
The cross street was Sycamore.
I'm not sure I know where that is.
Across from Kinko's.
And mm-hmm. What, the police came up and told your friend that his camper was illegally situated, or?
No, he just said, I told you I'm going to have this thing towed, and he went and...
Was it illegally registered? Was the registration?
Yeah, registered and everything.
What basis do you have for towing it?
I don't know, but you know.
Name of the police officer?
Yeah, I didn't know his name or nothing.
Okay. So that was another charming incident in your sleep saga, eh?
Yeah. But that, to see that happen, because Joe's a nice guy, and he should have had him in his camper. I don't know if they towed it or not, but
they were threatening to tow it, but you didn't see the tow truck arrive.
No, I didn't, because I had to get up this way.
Now, was his camper mobile, or did it need to be towed?
No, it was mobile. Everything worked.
Did he offer to move it?
Well, he wasn't there right then.
I see.
I don't know what happened. I was right there.
Were any tickets given out for sleeping or anything of that kind?
No, I didn't see anything.
What time did this happen?
It was about 7 o'clock this morning.
And you were sleeping nearby?
No, I was in the camper.
Are you aware it is illegal to sleep in a vehicle in Santa Cruz unless you're parked on a business with their written permission or in a church parking lot, but no more than 3 vehicles to a parking lot?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Well, you better get it together there. any other comments from the street? Violence against homeless people that you've not heard about recently?
I can't say that I have. It's a sad thing that's still happening in this world of ours that's going on. And I hope everything turns out okay for everybody everywhere. Peace, love, and God bless you.
I'm going to mosey on with your papers. I guess I better give these back to you.
I'm probably going to go to sleep right after.
No. Come on now. Sleeping is illegal. Actually, during the day, you will be allowed to sleep. But just wake up by 11 o'clock and start walking around, okay? 11 o'clock at night. I'm outside the Pacific Avenue Pizza and Grill talking to the distraught and yet articulate Craig Canada. Hey, Craig.
Hi there.
And you've just come. You're laughing hysterically, having been trounced and bounced and given the 86 from the Homeless Service Center?
That seems to be the situation, yeah. I'm kind of reluctant to talk about it. I'm pretty angry, and when I'm angry, I tend to say things I wish I hadn't said later.
Well, you seem to be... I've been temperate so far. It's about 425, actually 435 on June 12th, down here. Somewhat overcast, half sunny day. Dare I ask you what happened?
I'm still trying to sort it out. I just actually wrote or typed something to the effect of, it's like the devil's in the details, and if I told you all the details, by the time I got through, you would hate me and you would help them. It's,
I have been assigned to make sure you get out of town, you know that.
I could write a very good story that would put all those facts.
Well, apparently you've already posted an account of this on the internet.
Briefly, Yes, I did. I didn't know what else to do, but it just seems like it's really wrong to me. I'm very angry.
Where can people go to read this account?
It's on the Buds of Wrath on the forums.
Sentinel forums?
Yeah. Yeah, you can just do a search on the Buds of Wrath. It may be on the Today's Topics, or it may not. It could fall off, and I don't know if you know how those things work, but the most recent topic is up at the top, and...
Well, give us a brief summary of what...
In a nutshell, okay. Every time I go there, I get harassed. You know, like there was one time I was there doing my laundry, and as I was folding my clothes, this guy starts screaming about how he hates faggots and how he's going to beat me up and how I'm a snitch. And
you are a same-sex individual.
Same. Well, I am only one sex.
You are only one sex. Are you sure of that? Can we examine you? You are. Gay guy.
I suppose, yeah. Well, of course I am. I just, when I say I suppose about being gay, that comes with a lot of socio baggage that I'm not sure I...
Well, the term itself.
I don't particularly like disco, for instance. But,
oh, for heaven's sake. What kind of a gay? Do you like musicals?
Well, some, but mostly no.
What about female impersonators?
No.
No.
I like, you know, rock. I like
sexual congress with individuals of the same sex.
Well, that I can get into.
Well, I would say that makes you a homo.
Yeah, it makes me a lot worse than that, according
hetero.
To a lot of people. But yeah.
Well, so anyway, you said that people yelled at you and called you faggot. Did that happen today? Or?
Yeah. Well, let's see what happened. Today was the locker, and I don't think faggot came up today. It was just that I'm supposed to like this guy Murphy. It's harassing me. He does this. It's not the first time he's done it. He actually slammed his locker door on me one time while I was in my locker, and he's he's got such a busy schedule. I mean, he was there when I went there to take a shower. He'd just come out of his locker. I saw him come out of his locker when I went to put my stuff in my locker to take a shower. I take a shower, come back. He's just coming out of his locker. Now, you know, I've got, like, I want to get my clothes and find this sitting on the riverbank ticket and get my shit together. And I have to take everything out of my locker, and then he's got to get in his locker, and so I let him in there one more time, and it would start, stop everything I'm doing and move my stuff.
Because your lockers are close to each other?
Next to mine. And then he has to get into it again. I said, you know what, you can wait a few minutes. I'm almost done here. And so then he goes and gets the lot manager and tells him that I won't let him use his locker. And I tried to tell the lot manager this, and then Murphy starts screaming at me. Murphy's the guy with the locker next to him. He starts screaming, won't let me finish what I'm saying. And, so then, you know...
You reacted angrily?
Yeah, I get pretty angry because every time I go over there, it's a long series of things.
You picked him up and began to beat him about the head and shoulders?
Actually, no, I didn't. I said, stop yelling and let me say what I have to say, and he wouldn't do it. And so then the lot manager starts to tell me to move my stuff, and I said, no, I will not. He's been in his locker 5 times the last 45 minutes, and now he's going to get you because he can't wait 5 minutes to let me finish what I'm doing. And, of course, they're using this as a pretext. They tried to call me the police on me the last time I was there when this guy came in and threw his backpack down in the middle of my laundry while I was folding it. And then, you know...
The space problem, too? There's not enough space for people to use? Or?
Well, it's the fact that it seems like I'm supposed to stop what I'm doing so everybody else can do what they're doing, and I never get to do what I'm doing.
That's necessary or called for only because there's such limited space, right?
No, none of them ever have to stop what they're doing. It's me that's always having to, you know, and no, it's not about limited space. It's not about that. Believe me, it's not about that.
Limited
space does not let you sit there and call somebody a faggot and threaten to beat them up and scream at them for 15 minutes.
The pretext is a limited space.
Now, I need to stop talking about this.
I understand. So what's your next move in order to deal with this?
I really don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. Where am I going to shower? I have stuff in my locker that I need. I guess I won't be able to get... I guess if I try to go back over there, they'll call the police on me. I don't know any of this. I really don't want anything to do with them. I wish they'd get out of my life, but I don't have any choice in this town. And
they have the lockers there on the showers.
Yeah, and I don't have a place to live, and I'm homeless because, well, there I am.
I remember. Any message to the free radio folks or any calls for any kind of assistance?
I don't know. I mean, you know, what's...
check out the story on the Sentinel Forum to see what's cooking. You'll probably have, if you feel you're right now, you're obviously recovering from this crisis. Perhaps a cup of coffee or perhaps tea would be helpful.
And that was Craig Canada, also known as Palm Springs Bum, if you are checking the forums. He's an articulate writer. He has his own website, but he's homeless. And he is not allowed to medicate with marijuana, apparently, in different places, and so he's been denied housing. He's also suffered discrimination because of his sexual orientation, it sounds like. And apparently... you know, it's hard to say why people end up on the wrong side of the bureaucrats over at the workers, if you will, the bureaucrats over at the Homeless Services Center. And I'm looking online. I see that there are some people trying to help him out. There's one poster, Cagey, C-A-G-E-Y, is trying to be helpful, proposing a lot of things on the Sentinel Forum website for Palm Springs, but maybe we can get him in the studio on Sunday, have him talk about this issue. The real issue here is whether there's a quick, expeditious process for dealing with problems that arise at the Homeless Service Center, where having a locker is an important thing for a lot of poor people, where having access to a phone, having access theoretically to at least a minor shot at a bit of emergency shelter, although actually it's all full throughout the spring, summer, and fall months, unless you happen to be one of the lucky 40 out of 1,500 to 2,000 who get in. 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people in the city limits, probably there is no shelter for people at night, generally speaking, except for a certain number, essentially a pre-situated disabled folks who use the church floors. I think there are two churches that have floors that are open at night. And while it's true that the city, the judges, even Kim Baskett, respects letters that come in later saying, we have no space, and therefore you don't have to arrest this person, and or you don't have to convict this person of the crime of sleeping after 11 o'clock at night, which is a crime in Santa Cruz under the Rotkins sleeping ban, 6.36010A, thou shalt not sleep between 11 and 8:30 in the morning. Nonetheless, that's not going to stop police from waking you up, brusquely moving you along, threatening to take your stuff, in some cases taking or trashing your stuff. It's not going to stop Ranger Wallace from running you out of the parks but giving you no legal place to go. It's an emergency shelter crisis that the liberal Santa Cruz City Council chooses to ignore. The Matthews-Rotkin Council couldn't care less about, and even the great liberals Fitzmaurice and Porter have proposed absolutely no solutions to the situation and are unwilling to lift the criminal ban on sleeping, which apparently had to be attacked in Los Angeles under the Jones decision by a court decision. And that apparently is what we need here, as an injunction against this kind of abusive behavior. Well, that's something I've talked about before a lot. Again, more of the details and the clarity, some suggestions as to how people can address these issues. There aren't really any ways to address these issues of sleeping and shelter, because there is no shelter for people who sleep. You hide out or you get out, or you band together and change things. And, of course, that's an even more difficult situation for people who are so vulnerable and so resource poor as poor people and homeless people. It's only when poor people get together with people in houses that things may begin to happen. And that happens in some cities. You have tent cities that form, as Camp Paradise formed in Santa Cruz in 2001 on the banks of the San Lorenzo, as Tent City 4 has formed in Seattle, Washington, as Camp Dignity, now Dignity Village, formed in Portland, Oregon. These things can happen and do happen and hopefully get supported, but the ball has to start rolling, and it's not clear when that starts here or where that starts, but it could start one time or another. So, a little Neil Young, and I'll be back with you. If you want to be back with me, you can call up 427-3772, and I will answer.
It's around 15 to 12 on May 31st. It's a beautiful sunny day. I'm out here at the county building. But here's someone who's not feeling terribly sunny because she just last night got a citation for sleeping, right?
Right. Right out in the Santa Cruz, the buildings, you know, it was a closed faculty. Nobody was there. I get there after dark, so I'm not causing really any problems. And I told this cop, you know, Jesus, even if I did have a job to support myself, I'd still be sleeping outside because everything is so expensive. So why are you really getting down on this, you know, injustice of really making it a problem for homeless people? You know, when I have a problem as it is, and here he's giving me a ticket, and I asked him not to, and he did it anyway.
Now, why did he, what exactly did he say to you when it was about all this?
Well, I was sleeping, and he woke me up.
Midnight, was it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Santa Cruz police, let me see your ID. And I was lucky I didn't have any warrants because this guy is a tight ass, because sometimes they'll just tell you to get up and leave. But this guy really had a problem with, and, you know, I wasn't doing anything. So you know what I think they do pretty much is they pull up on you, they're trying to hide from someone, or they have some other problem, and they're just taking it out on the homeless.
You know, I'm looking at the ticket. I see it looks like badge 125. I can't quite see. It's officer.
Oh, is that? I thought it said 125. Okay.
It could be. It could be.
Is it?
It's kind of hard. Alding.
Aldo.
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 Not sure. Aldino.
You know,
hard to see. But you've been in this place before. You've slept. Were you sleeping alone?
Yeah.
And you. Normally, you say you're in the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program.
Exactly, and I don't. Yeah, and I told him that. And so when I go to court, I'm going to have a piece of paper saying that I do belong to the shelter program, but sometimes it's too full. You know, we have rights too, and there are people that just cannot afford to get it together to even have to put up with this, you know, shit when you're not really camping out on the river. I can, and when they see somebody like that, they should just. Tell them to either get up and leave, but, you know, not be the violent and try to come and look for us and make sure we're not having that barbecue, you know?
Now, you've been pretty much sleeping out. How many nights this month, would you say, of May have you slept out?
Well, I've been home. I'm 40 years old now, and I've been homeless most of my life. I've been in and out. And see, that's my problem is that when you get ahead, it's so hard to stay ahead. You know, somebody loses their job. I've had my friend had died of cancer. So different things, you know. You lose your friend or people move on that you've worked for. And I've had many jobs that I just get fired for nothing. So, you know, it's really discrimination when they take out somebody that doesn't have anything and make it worse.
Now, but again, how many months this, how many days this month would you say you've been outside?
Probably most of the month.
And have, and you understand that during that time, have you tried to get into the ISSB and been told it's full?
Yeah.
Or have you made a decision, for some reason, you prefer not to be in the ISSB?
Well, you know, yeah, it's both. I go there when I feel like I need help, but, you know, because it's hard to sleep outside all the time and stuff, you know? And I even told the SSI building that one time that, you know, fuck, man, you want me to get a job, but here I'm still sleeping outside. It's not helping me. If you gave me a little bit of money, maybe I could support myself a little bit more, you know? And they're just, like, totally ignoring the whole fact that there are people out here that are really trying to get by with just what they have. I was happy, and now I have to go through shit like this.
Now, you actually went, by going through shit, you actually went into the building and tried to get information from the person at the window of Department 10 in the basement?
And they said they didn't have any right away.
Even though they knew the code section?
Yeah, why don't they?
6.36010A1.
They could have told me exactly what you told me, and here she told me 200, and you're telling me it's 90. Well, that's fine with me. That's something that I can, you know, I can either work off, or it sounds like a couple of days in jail. That's worth it.
Did she not
reasonable instead of a month or, you know, a couple of weeks.
Did
or
she
whatever.
Refer to something that, like a book or something, when she told you it was 200 and something? And this was I'd be curious to go in with you and have her explain how she got that figure, because she may be telling other people that too.
Yeah, exactly, because I said, and she said, well, I don't know for sure because the ticket's not here, but she just said $100, $200, and I'm going, well, you know, you should know these kind of facts. You know, when people come in, I want to know before I go to court what the fuck's going on.
And my
people get paid, and this is why we don't have a job.
Well, what they'll tell you is that they don't have to give you much information, and what you actually need to do, even though I feel they should be giving this information, is you need to look at the code section mentioned in your ticket, go into the law library, and copy it down. I know it's a pain in the ass, but you actually have to do that in order to read the law, and then you take the law into court with you. It's if you have to do it. But I think you've said that the Homeless Services Center will give you a letter. When do they tell you that?
I already got the letter. I went there today.
You have a letter indicating that on the night that you got the ticket last night, May 31st, right after midnight today, the services were filled.
Right, and that it might be going on for the rest of the summer. And that's what it said.
You have that letter with you?
Well, it's in my locker.
Okay, I got you. I believe you.
I don't want to, you know.
No, I understand. So the positive thing is that
maybe they will write it off because I do have all this backup. And it's not, you know, fuck, man. Everything is so expensive. I do enough out there trying to help people, you know, as it is. So what if I don't have a 9-to-5 job? That's something I don't feel comfortable with. And another thing, it's not going to support my habit here of not getting into housing or, you know. They expect so much. I can't even get a fucking car because then they want you to pay that extra bill every month. You know, I mean, it's too much.
So.
And then they try to lead your life by telling you you can't sleep where you want to. When, fuck, they gotta go and
sleep.
Find
you. You can't sleep anywhere either in a vehicle or outside. So it's not just where you want to. It's they don't let you sleep at all. Is the problem? I mean, have you been approached by officers in the past month and then ignored, or is this the first time a cop has actually found your sleeping space?
Well, no, I've seen a cop before, and he let me go and didn't give me the ticket.
Did he tell you to move on, or did he let you sleep there?
No, he told me to get up and don't come back.
Now,
see, and that's putting, when they keep on telling us not to come back, well, that's putting us in a more dangerous spot when we can't find a safe spot that we feel good in.
Now, you're a woman, young, attractive. Have you had any problems outside because of that status?
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable. I have a lot of good friends, and, you know, when I go out and know my friend's going to be out there sleeping like I am, I want to know that, fuck, you know, we had a good day and we accomplished something good. It's not like we're out here doing something wrong. We're trying to get it together.
Do you feel safer sleeping in groups, sleeping alone? Do you feel that would you rather have a legal place you can go to sleep, let's say a campground, or do you prefer sort of finding your own spot elsewhere?
I don't mind sleeping with groups, you know. That's cool if there was one. That's one of the reasons I like to camp out, because it's so nice. And it's nice when you're alone, too, because you're under the stars and you can really sleep and nobody will bother you. And that's always nice.
Except your friendly police officer at midnight.
Ah, for sure. Ranger Rick, right?
Now, there's a lawsuit that's being proposed that would They're looking for people to, homeless people are being harassed by the police in Santa Cruz, because in Los Angeles there has been a court decision that you can't go after people and arrest them for sleeping if you don't provide them with an alternate shelter space option. And of course they don't do that here in Santa Cruz, and we know there is no shelter space based upon the letter you got, and won't be for the rest of the summer. Would you be interested in being a defendant in this lawsuit, do you think?
That's a hard question. I don't know, because...
I really don't mean defendant. I mean plaintiff. I mean someone who's suing the city and the county to say, look, stop harassing homeless people until you can actually find shelter space.
Right. I think that's a good idea, and I'm definitely going to speak up on that when I go. I'm going to let them know my own thing, but I don't think I want to get in some personal lawsuit. I don't have enough energy to...
Understand.
It's hard enough. Pulling off life, and they think it's nothing, but it is. It's something to take care of your own space and keep yourself together, you know, and feed yourself and try to find work.
How long have you been homeless in Santa Cruz?
I've been homeless off and on for a long time because I didn't get along.
Two decades.
I didn't get along well with my parents when I was younger, so right away, you know, I was out here.
Did the situation change much? Do you mind if I call you by your first name for this?
Well, I think it's gotten better. The hippies, everybody getting together has gotten better, but the cops have gotten worse. They're always out there taking out everything on us and blaming us when we're not causing a problem. They should leave us alone, because it's obvious we do have a problem. I think they're just out there making fun of us.
What's your name?
That there's no problem and they're just doing it.
Want to give us a name?
My name is Patty.
And Patty, You've been essentially camping out for more or less on and off, in sometimes in shelter, sometimes out, for 20 years, would you say?
Yeah.
And you think people are more together than they were in terms of the homeless community, or do you think, I mean, is there solidarity for folks in the homeless community?
I think it's gotten a lot more better, yeah. I mean, we got to just pull together, each and every one of us, and the cops have gotten worse. You know, they don't do their job.
How about homeless services in terms of food services and other things?
I think there's still some food out there, and that's a good quality there.
Okay.
You know, I just don't appreciate when I have very little as it is because of problems that are for real out there, you know, and just to always be ignored and put down and tickets everywhere, you know, and...
Today's headline and today's Sentinel talks about San Lorenzo Park problems and cleaning up San Lorenzo Park. And there's been a recent spate of laws and regulations, for example, closing the parking garages to anybody who wants to walk in them unless you have a vehicle there, which is directed, I think, primarily against homeless people who are camping there, and also closing parking lot number 9, which is across from the Elm Street Mission, which has a meal at least every weekday. Do they serve every weekday or every day at the Elm Street?
I think it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Wednesday. They have breakfast and dinner.
Okay. So it's 3 days a week and that other day. There's also a law that now prohibits smoking in San Lorenzo Park. What's your feeling about that? Is that positive? Is that negative?
You know, I think that people should be able to do what they want in the park if they're going to pick up the butts. I mean, I think that's really taking it a little bit far.
Well, the claim is that the children in children's areas have to deal with smoking as a secondhand smoke as a health hazard. My response to that has been, it's a big park. You can have, you know, a safety zone around the children's park where people don't smoke, and then places where smokers can go to smoke.
Right, yeah, that's a good idea. You have a couple ashtrays on the side. You know, they hardly have any barbecue pits out there still, you know. So they're already kind of ignoring the, you know, park fact of it's a nice spot, let's not ruin it. They already have.
What's the situation for homeless women like yourself? Are you women particularly vulnerable out there, do you think? Have you experienced any feeling of increased lack of safety?
When I go out there, I make sure that, you know, I have a certain group of friends. I just don't hang out with anybody. I don't invite anybody along to camp out with me, you know. Because a lot of times I have to go out and do my own thing because my friends are out doing their own thing. You know, so I do camp out alone a lot. But I pick real safe places. I'm not, you know, I off to the side or on some redwood, not too far away, you know, from the trail is kind of how I do it.
Have you suffered any assaults as a homeless person in the last 20 years that's relevant to your status as a woman?
Well, yeah, I have. just, you know, people get real violent in their attitudes and like to hit people. I've had somebody come up to me, sock me right in the face just over because they were pissed off. I didn't even know that they were pissed off.
Homeless person or housed person?
No, they were homeless too. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are just irate running around, and I don't see the cops going after them. But then when a decent person decides to lay down a blanket and try to get a couple hours sleep, it's the biggest deal in the world. But when you see these drunk fucking assholes running around and these idiots on checks that they're out there stabbing people and using drugs and putting us down, and then they come after somebody that looks, you know, sane, it's crazy.
Any problems, any other problems with police other than the sleeping van stuff?
I think, no, well, not really, because I don't really do anything wrong, but I'm sure if I was in the park drinking or smoking a cigarette, they would definitely be the first ones there to...
Well, we know you're underage, so we wouldn't allow you to smoke or drink.
Right, yeah, so that's another good ticket for them, you know?
We've been talking with...
Patty.
Thanks, Patty.
And them's the kind of interviews you hear on Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is what you're listening to. In case you want to call in with some live chatter about this or your own experiences, 427-3772 is the phone line to call. It looks like my callers from out of the area are not calling in. So, hey, now's your opportunity if you're in the area or you feel like talking to give a call. 427-3772 is the phone number here. If you want to catch me off air, call me at 423-HUFF, leave me a message, and we'll talk that way. And if you're interested in more information about HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, you can get it on the HUFF line, 423-HUFF, or you can contact the HUFF website, huffsantacruz.org. Or you can also catch back issues of this show, every show between now and 2 years ago almost is situated on that website. So it looks like on Sunday, since I've got another 20 minutes left in the show, but it's going to wind down soon here, I'll be playing you, we'll be covering the some of the details of the last city council, or city council as they call themselves, the City Council of Santa Cruz, and their latest activities on Tuesday when they had their meeting. You'll be hearing more interviews, of course, as well. And I'll be doing some analysis of, reading some lefty stuff on foreign affairs, which might or might not interest you, and you can always give your thoughts. I'm, of course, continually outraged and baffled and frustrated by the war in Iraq and the lack of response that we all have to it. At the same time, I guess it depends on somebody taking the lead and the rest of us starting to follow, or maybe all of us taking the lead and trying to cooperate as best we can. As I mentioned before, there is a vigil tomorrow, 7 to 9, in acknowledgement of the 2,500th U.S. death in Iraq. And as I mentioned before, it's too bad if that's all we can think about compared to the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis and others who have died and who we continue to fund, Representative Farr voting for those appropriations to kill, and we don't do anything in response to that. Thomas Levitt, who does the show before mine on Sunday, he calls it the wake-up call, and it goes from 7:30 to 9:30, has put together a 2006 version of the local SDS, Students for a Democratic Society. Unless anybody thinks this is an exercise in nostalgia, you may know if you Google for SDS and Olympia, Washington, you'll find SDS is one of the key organizations, among other peace groups, who nonviolently blocked arms shipments out of Olympia, Washington towards Iraq and got, of course, soundly beaten up for it, but were able to mount quite a protest for about 3 weeks around that issue. We need more such protests everywhere. And hopefully Santa Cruz might be one place to begin. You would think it was the place to begin, wouldn't you? Well, I have here, maybe I should begin with this, some city council stuff. Maybe I'll begin with a little city council stuff. I actually had promised earlier to talk about medical marijuana. And maybe the place to begin is the City Council's discussion of the medical marijuana initiative. Actually, it's the Recreational Marijuana Initiative. It's an initiative to make marijuana the lowest priority in Santa Cruz, which Santa Cruz City Council member Emily Riley declined to put on the Santa Cruz City Council agenda as a resolution. So that didn't happen. I'm Googling for it now. And we'll see if there's I can actually get the text of it and describe for you what it actually says. I can describe it sort of colloquially. It will go onto the November ballot, and it was submitted. I'm trying to find the actual description of it. Marijuana not included. Looking around to find it. It has to do with making marijuana the lowest priority for adults in terms of police harassment. It encourages the city to prepare for tax and regulate as a new statewide policy, which is going to be pressed as an initiative in 2008 statewide. This is going to be on the ballot, this particular local medical marijuana initiative, which you've actually talked about here on Free Radio. In November, and the Santa Cruz City Council meeting, which I'm about to play you something from, is the meeting where this was officially, the City Council had no choice, but it was officially put on the ballot, and we're going to be talking about what options the city had to actually expedite this process and do something meaningful, and of course chose not to, but simply had to be dragged along, kicking and screaming, grumbling and mumbling. Not really kicking and screaming, but they had to be dragged along on this issue. I'm going to cue up this tape, and again, you can call in if you have any thoughts at 427-3772.
Item 30 on the afternoon agenda, adult marijuana criminal offenses, lowest law enforcement priority. A discussion of the initiative at City Council in the afternoon of June 13, 2006, and some public comment on it.
These two we'll do with the adult marijuana criminal offenses first. I'm going to start by asking if there are any questions of council members.
And this is Mayor Matthews. It's taking place in the afternoon session.
About this. Okay. I will invite comment from the public. How many people would like to speak on this, please? Two. Okay. I will ask that you keep your comments to a couple minutes.
But can I suggest that there's only two people, let them speak for 3 minutes each?
And this is Mike Rotkin, who perhaps doesn't want two-minute Matthews to get her her name emblazoned in the critical press, those of us who called her two-minute Matthews, because when it's obvious there's adequate time for people to speak, she still doesn't want to hear from critics and does her best to cut back on them. And as she will explain in a moment, give more time for city council members to talk and talk and talk and talk.
It's your judgment.
Right.
You can ignore me. It's your call.
I'm trying to give plenty of time for us to discuss. Okay, 3 minutes. That's fine with me.
In 1999, a measure came before the city.
Before we hear this speaker who's critical of the marijuana initiative, notice that it's Matthews succumbing to Rotkin. Rotkin, the shadow mayor, who essentially dictates to Matthews what to do in many occasions, or she's severely influenced by him. And in this case, Rotkin is trying to say, look, let's not make ourselves look horrible. There are only two people speaking. Why cut their time back? For Matthews, of course, she sees who the speakers are. And perhaps Rotkin noticed that the first speaker was a conservative fellow who he wanted to at least acknowledge, although I think he has a different view than Rotkin on the marijuana initiative, which Rotkin probably supports, although not enough to present it at City Council as his own initiative, which he could do and could have done any time in the last 2 years since he was elected in 2000 and actually last 3 years, in 2004. The first speaker doesn't give his name, but he is expressing some concerns about the initiative.
Council regarding the use of fluoride or forbidding us to put fluoride in our water. And at the time, I thought that would not stand up to court challenge, and as it turned out, it didn't. As you well know, Watsonville spent thousands of dollars trying to defend that measure and lost. I want to be sure the same thing doesn't happen with these measures, especially the marijuana measure. It very well may be unconstitutional. I hope that you're looking at it very, very carefully, looking who will have to defend these things if they are brought up for a court challenge. Who's going to pay those costs? I'm concerned about the amount of money that we've lost in lawsuits over the last several years. The De Anza court lawsuit, the Blue Lagoon lawsuit, the lawsuit with the dog problem down at Lighthouse Field. All these things drain our treasury, and I hope you're concerned as I am about who will be footing the bill for these if they have to be fought in court. Thank you.
Thanks.
States by doctors and lawyers. So please believe me, people. You gotta smoke all.
And this is Michael Tomasi. We're only hearing a part of his testimony because he usually prefaces his remarks with lengthy comments about how he is the king of marijuana or the king of the trolls, and gives his military background, none of which is really terribly relevant or particularly interesting after you've heard it for two or three times. Regarding what the previous speaker had to say about medical marijuana, this is about recreational marijuana and making it the lowest priority, and you know, essentially looking forward to taxing and regulating marijuana instead of treating it as a prohibited item, which is a menace and danger when no one has ever died of any kind of, through direct use of marijuana. It's probably one of the most innocuous substances as far as that goes. This individual clearly seems to be, although he's not saying so, I'm wondering if he isn't in fact simply a prohibitionist who doesn't want to see this measure passed and wants to find ways to get the city to stop it. And so he's saying that, well, if this measure is taken to court, the city will have to defend it or may choose to defend it, and it's going to cost money to defend it, and that should be considered before they start, even though the initiative process tries to take this matter out of the hands of the city council. And I believe in the fluoride activity in Watsonville was actually passed by the Watsonville City Council, so it was a city council action. I could be wrong about that. I know that there were initiatives, it was either Santa Cruz or Watsonville. The fluoride thing was not an initiative, but it was a city council decision. I'm looking that up now. Anyway, now let's turn to Michael Tomasi and hear what he has to say. Here he is.
A lot of pot. And you gotta have a smile on your face. And Mr. Wilson and every one of you city council members should do this. Not only the yellow-bellied sapsucker, because I know he does it. Thank you.
Emily, then Ed.
Yeah.
John,
yes.
Could you tell me what would be the effect of us passing a motion to direct you to bring us a report on this?
Actually, there are three things that can be done with the initiatives that, once they get enough signatures, are brought to city council. As I said before, city council wants to be proactive. They can try to act on initiatives like this reasonable marijuana matter, not particularly strong or tough or radical or innovative or anything, but, you know, it sets up a commission to make sure that all marijuana that's being sold to adults, particularly that's possessed by adults in their homes, is the lowest priority, and that police aren't running around messing with people for this purpose. It seems a reasonable matter that the city council could pass as a matter of course by a 4-3 vote, but, you know, apparently the authors of this were so insecure about it that they didn't even want to try to put it on the ballot. I mean, they didn't want to try to take it to city council. Instead, they took it to the ballot directly. So the city council can either put it on the ballot, they can vote it in by a majority vote, or they can ask for a report on it. And now we hear more of Emily Riley asking City Attorney John Barisoni about this.
statewide. If the council is uncertain as to what action wants to take or has questions about the ordinance or its effect or any other aspect of it, you have discretion to ask staff to report back to you before you have to make your decision to put it on the ballot or adopt it yourself.
And so the report wouldn't stop us from doing either.
No, it would just defer your decision until the report comes back. You would have until July 13th to get a report back.
Okay, we have time.
Correct.
We have until July 13th. Okay, thank you. Ed's next. Then.
Well, I also have a question for John. I think Mr. Mullen's question is a germane question, but in fact, could you tell us, if you make a report about the legality of this matter, do you have or does the council have discretion to avoid putting this on the ballot if we do not choose to enact it?
I don't think you'd have without court sanction. You don't have that authority. The elections code only gives you two prerogatives. Either once a matter qualifies for the ballot, under the elections code, you have the choice of either putting it on the ballot or adopting it in the form that was presented to you with the petitions. We'd have to research our ability to, file a court action to if it was a determination was made that all or a portion of the ordinance is illegal or unenforceable for any reason. There is clear authority for challenging the ordinance after it's been voted on, by the city. Whether we can do a pre-decision challenge to the ordinance, or whether you can adopt the ordinance with the proviso that it won't go into effect until we've got a judicial determination as to its legality, we need to research that. And that could be the subject of a report that the council requests. I mean, we're actually looking at that now because we received an informal inquiry from Councilmember Riley about that question.
Have we ever in your memory challenged a legally qualified petition and failed to put it on the ballot?
There was one instance.
Let me interrupt the city attorney here. It's interesting. Barisoni, I believe, was a critic of this initiative, as I remember talking to Andrea Tischler and others about it. And the idea that people should be spending all this amount of time at City Council discussing how to tear apart an innocuous initiative rather than how to strengthen an initiative is quite telling. It tells us how liberal the Santa Cruz City Council is, and particularly how liberal the real power behind the City Council, the city attorney, the city manager, and the staff that has the real the staying power, the people that get paid the $160,000 a year and more for cost overruns and so forth, particularly for the city attorney. And they're the people that really kind of write the tickets. I mean, they write the agendas, if you will, even though nominally it's the people who are elected.
I know that we threatened to do that once with regard to an issue that would have controlled it was a vehicular traffic issue, and the law at that time was very clear that traffic issues are the subject of statewide concern, and that only the council has a decision delegated from the state legislature to make decisions of this type, and there was case law saying that you couldn't do traffic by initiative. And I received direction from the council to challenge that before. Actually, that was before we were even going to approve the petitions. And I explained that to the initiative proponent, who, after looking at it, agreed with me. So we never did have to go to court on that one.
Thank you.
Mike, you're all done? Okay, then I think it's appropriate. I will ask a question. John, should we, even if we want the report, we should still certify the signatures at this point?
Let's all ask John what to do, the city attorney. The problem, of course, is this is the same city attorney that the speaker has properly pointed out cost the city millions of dollars in terms of the lawsuits against the De Anza and Clearview Court by writing bad laws around this issue. Similarly, even you see it on a smaller basis in terms of the panhandling law. Barisoni wrote a law which contained the words profane and abusive language, which had to do with, it was a badly written law which said, in essence, anybody who has a sign which has any kind of profanity or criticism in it can be cited for abusive panhandling, even though the sign has nothing to do with what they're doing. Badly written, and of course the whole rest of the panhandling ordinance, which we'll talk about on Sunday, was very badly written in the main, except for a couple of provisions which might be useful in terms of really dealing with really abusive panhandling. Most of it has to do with criminalizing, giving the police the opportunity to eliminate any kind of panhandling that they find offensive by invoking a section of the law. I've talked about that before. I'll talk about it again. But I think right now I'm going to respect the time limits of Uncle Dennis, even though he's not here. His spirit prevails. And coming up next is in absentia for Dennis, from the cream to the dregs. Do we want you to introduce that? No, there's no introduction by the ghost host, as I call him. But it'll be coming on shortly. And come back again if you want to hear more of my babble on Sunday, when I shall return with another edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 9:30 in the morning. Or for you early birds, check in with Thomas Levitt in the wake-up call at 7:30, because sometimes I throw some shit his way. Hey, thank you for being with me. If you want to call me between times, you got reports on police misconduct or other weirdnesses that are happening around, call 423-HUFF. Leave me a message, and I'll get back to you.
Run, 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 but you just can't hide. An eye for There's no place in this world where I belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone, and you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't feel the flowing of the time when I'm gone, and all the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour a lyric line when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't breathe, breathe, breathe. Can't even worry about my cares when I'm gone. I won't be asked to do my share when I'm gone.